Chet Edwards joins us from D.C. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
You were down in the district. I guess just got back up to D.C. I know you were here for to kind of do some work as far as the old Reliance Bridge is concerned over by Rudder High School.
Well, we had a good event there. It was a groundbreaking, and it may not sound too exciting for some, but old Reliance Bridge goes across Earl Rudder Freeway next to the new Earl Rudder High School and also middle school, and their kids walking across a two-lane bridge over the highway with no sidewalks on either side. So I've been working with Bryan College Station Chamber of Commerce and the City of Bryan for 5 years now, trying to get that project moving forward. And we did get it done. We got the funding for it, worked together. And it was a good example of people working together, local, state, federal officials working together in good faith. And it's all about protecting kids, and a few things more important to all of us parents out there than that.
Speaking of working together, two former presidents, very high profile, to talk about the situation in Haiti and American response.
Well, I don't know why we have to have a natural disaster in a foreign land to get Democrats and Republicans working together, but I think it is wonderful. It's a great message to have former President Bush and Clinton working together for the people of Haiti. And I know our thoughts and prayers of all of us are with the people who are facing unspeakable disasters there. They just had a very serious aftershock in 0.6 on the Richter scale. But, you know, I do think, Scott, that all Americans can take pride in the way our country is responded. Once again, we've done more than any nation in the world to address people who are facing starvation and death because of a natural disaster. Texas Task Force 1 from Brazos County, headquartered in Brazos County, went down there and played a key role. So, you know, once again, Americans have kind of been a beacon of friendship for the world. And sometimes I think we get beat up as a country. We don't get credit for what we do for others. And perhaps this kind of thing can remind the world that Americans are there when people are in need.
Well, obviously, the election last night has been pretty important from the standpoint of, I guess it turned a lot of heads in D.C. as to the fact that folks are paying attention, that was this, in fact, well, I guess give us your view as a longtime active person in the political arena. What kind of a signal do you think the election in Massachusetts was last night?
Well, I think it should be a wake-up call for Democrats. I think the message is that the American people want Washington to focus on the economy and jobs and getting the deficit under control. There's a great sense of frustration that maybe too much is being tried too quickly, and we need to focus on the most critical priorities, the economy and jobs, and I think long-term getting this deficit down. You know, Massachusetts is a different place, and so I'm not an expert on their politics. In Texas, you wouldn't have a Republican win a primary who was pro-choice and voted for universal health care and posed nude in a magazine. He did drive a pickup truck. But I think there is a serious message in this election, and I hope people will listen and hear it, that we can't do everything all at once. We've got to focus on strengthening the economy, and long term we've got to get this deficit under control. And I will tell you one other point. I think it's not all bad at all from whether one's a Democrat or a Republican. The fact is now the Senate cannot pass a bill on with 60 votes to overcome a filibuster on a strictly partisan basis, and that will require some bipartisanship. And if there's anything we need more of in Washington, it is bipartisanship. And Senator Brown ran on a theme of independence, and I think that sold very well with the vast majority of independent voters. That's a good lesson for Democrats and Republicans alike.
Well, is it basically true that in any political race, you've staked out your territory, and it's those independents, those undecided, that can swing one person from a winning column to a losing column, or vice versa?
Absolutely. You know, there are not enough lever-pulling Republicans or Democrats around the country to guarantee a national election or most races, whether it's for Congress or the state Senate or for the U.S. Senate or for governor. It's really the independent voters that swing elections, and I think that's the beauty of our democracy. If one party gets out of the mainstream, independent voters will pick up on that. And if another party gets out of the mainstream, they'll pick up on that. And I think our founding fathers were brilliant in the system they set up with checks and balances. And the best check and balance ultimately is for the independent voter to express his or her view at the voting box.
In your opinion, when should Scott Brown be seated?
I think he should be seated as soon as possible. And I don't know what all the regulations are in Massachusetts, but I hope the Senate won't try to cram through any controversial legislation in the few days before he is seated.
Leadership, I mean, there was certainly some thought that leadership might try to push the Senate version of the health care bill through the House. That way it's done and finished. What's the feel up there on the Hill right now about that?
Scott, I don't know for sure. Today is our first day back this week, and I have heard, though, that idea is dead on arrival.
Okay.
That there just wasn't very much support for that. I put a caveat on that. Anything can happen. Things can change quickly sometimes. But I just don't see that happen. And of course, as you know, I'm one of those who voted no on the health care bill when it went through the House. And I think having a quick cram down vote in the House on the Senate version would just probably further inflame the American people. Whatever we do or don't do on health care, it ought to be reasoned and thoughtful, and maybe everybody will take a deep breath and go back and say, all right, what is it that we really need to do or don't need to do?
Last week there was a strategy meeting at the White House. It was supposed to last for a couple of hours. It wound up being the entire day, and that sounded to me like already some of the pleas from the White House were falling on deaf ears. That was before last night. Do we see a new resurgence in people who will stand back with their arms folded rather than just take what the White House has as far as their agenda is concerned?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I've always been independent-minded. I voted no on cap and trade and voted no on the health care bill, as I have on some other issues out there. But I think you're going to see a lot of people say the American people are trying to say something. And in my opinion, what they're saying is, focus on the economy, focus on jobs, focus on getting the deficit under control. Don't try to do everything all at once. That's just not possible. So I think you will see more people understanding that fact.
Nancy Pelosi is the face of the House, is Speaker of the House right now, based on, again, last night's vote. Could we see some changes?
I hate to speculate on all of that, but nobody's guaranteed that job. I think the most important thing for us to do right now is to try to refocus and set priorities. And I think Democrats have overreached. For example, the financial services reform bill. If the bill had just simply regulated derivatives that got us into the economic mess we're in, played a key role in it, I think there would have been overwhelming support. Instead, they overreached and started putting extra regulations on the backs of community banks, which is one reason I voted no. So I think there's a lot of overreach out there, and we need to take our breath and see if we can find some common ground on the economy, jobs, and the deficit. I think the voters and citizens of the country would really welcome Democrats and Republicans trying to find some common ground for the good of the country.
I'm in hopes that I'm in hopes this is a game changer. We'll be talking about things in a different light next week. Finally, last week you had mentioned cap and trade. You mentioned it just a minute ago as possibly coming back up for consideration. Now, yesterday Byron Dorgan was talking about a lot of different things. First of all, he wants offshore drilling near Florida. He really wants that to happen now. And he has also said that cap and trade seems to be in some trouble, and it might be called something different, like energy legislation. Have we seen a change in the last week over the idea about cap and trade or energy legislation?
Well, I think we started seeing change when that bill barely passed the House. And ironically, had there not been 8 Republicans voting for it, there were enough of us Democrats voting no, we could have killed it. But I think because it was such a close vote in the House, it really caused the Senate to slow down and take a look at it. But, you know, there's no question we need to reduce our dependence upon foreign sources of energy, and I think we could find common ground on that. I'm one of those who has always supported offshore drilling. We can do that and still protect the environment and help our economy. And I helped pass a bill a couple of years ago that actually expanded outer continental shelf drilling. But the cap and trade bill, getting into all the new regulations and putting global warming above the immediate economic challenges our country's facing. I think there will be some major changes in attitude on that.
Well, I hope they're listening now because I think there were some signals sent last night. Chet Edwards.
I think you're right.
Congressman Chet Edwards joins us on most Wednesdays when Congress is in session. You can hear our entire interview. It'll be on our website later on today. Chet, thanks for the time.
Chet, thank you now.
All right.
Bye-bye.